Chapter 2. Archie drops in. Through the blue sky, little Archie flew, higher than any ant he ever knew. Below him, the dreaded Bigfoot land, plains of green, lakes and desert sand. On the horizon, a forest appeared, beautiful, majestic, yet slightly weird. The trees had no leaves, fruit or vines, but millions of needles, like porcupines. As the sphere got closer, the tiny pins looked more like razor-sharp javelins. Archie held on to all he could grab, afraid of becoming an ant kebab.
"Please, not into the woods," Archie begged,
vulnerable, without armor and bare-legged. The globe didn't listen to his pleas. They both descended straight into the trees. Spears started scratching at the sphere, clawing for Archie, dangling at the rear. But they couldn't reach our little friend, well protected by the globe's bend. The scratching echoed in Archie's head. One well-aimed needle and he would be dead. All of a sudden, the racket died down as the sphere left the pine's prickly gown. Again, Archie was engulfed by sunny light, flying over what seemed an open sight. Hidden in this dark ocean of deadly furs, eager to lash out with its army of spurs, Archie's relief soon turned to fright. The globe had tilted during its flight. Now he was hanging in front of the sphere, heading straight towards a deadly spear. In a split second, Archie decided to let go, hoping for a soft and colourful rainbow that would catch him during this turmoil and let him slide gently to the soil. But a rainbow was not there that day, nor a soft pillow or a huge pile of hay. Under him lay a building with an open top, from which cheering escaped non-stop. The closer he came, the calmer he got. He couldn't look away from the spot where in seconds he would hit the ground, hoping his body would one day be found. No, this is not where Archie's story ended. On the contrary, our brave ant landed in a stadium filled with thousands of ants, watching an ant race from the stands. In front of the finish, Archie touched down, smack on the head of poor Wes Brown, who was about to win his first ever race against champion Rodney, for once in second place. Wes never did reach the finishing line. From under Archie escaped a terrible whine. When champion Rodney, with his usual flair, won the race, arms triumphantly in the air. Shaken, not stirred, Archie climbed back up. Rodney was already holding the cup, his other arms wrapped around a girl. She was beautiful, like a precious pearl. Thousands of voices now yelled Rodney's name. Never before had Archie seen such acclaim. That moment he knew. "This is what I desire, to be famous, to be adored, to inspire." Archie's daydream went up in smoke when he felt in his back a rude poke. Startled, he turned to face a giant ant, holding a pair of ant cuffs in his hand.
"Son," the officer said, "in the name of the Crown, I arrest you for attacking poor Wes Brown. Your fall caused him serious bodily harm. By the looks of it, you even broke his arm. But worst of all, you cost him the game and deprived him of our Hall of Fame. Therefore, our Queen will now decide by which punishment you'll have to abide. So before the eyes of everybody in the stands, the officer put the cuffs over Archie's hands and gently led him away from the track, where Wes Brown still lay on his back. As they approached the outraged crowd, the booing and screaming became very loud. Everybody in the stands gave Archie hell, the sounds only fading when he entered his cell. The prison room was large and very bright, flooded with an unfriendly cold white light. No windows, pictures, or furniture at all. Only a shiny metal bed shoved against a wall. The officer directed Archie towards the bed, freed him gently from his cuffs, and said,
"Tomorrow, I will take you to our Queen. What she'll decide remains to be seen. For now, try to get a good night's rest. Maybe everything will work out for the best."
The officer left the cell and turned the key. From this prison, no way Archie could break free. If only a rescue team was on its way, crossing Bigfoot Land to save the day. But Archie knew this was but an idle hope. With this ordeal, all alone, he had to cope. Slowly, Archie's heart filled with fear. How he wished Mum and Dad were here. Mum to console him and hold him tight. Dad
to defend him with all his might.
Why hadn't he left a note or said something? Then Mum and Dad wouldn't be left wondering. What had happened to their only son? Suddenly vanished, maybe forever gone. Silently sobbing, Archie finally fell asleep, dreaming of a dark pit very, very deep into which the Queen, vicious and vile, pushed him, showing her gruesome smile.